The Mystical City of God, Conception, Book 2, Chapter 2. Our Lady gives advice to those who are in the religious life and warns them of the many dangers of becoming lax.
My daughter, among the great and ineffable favors of the Omnipotent in the course of my life was the one which thou hast just learned and described. For by this clear vision of the divinity and of the incomprehensible essence, I acquired knowledge of the most hidden sacraments and mysteries. And in this adornment and espousal, I received incomparable blessings and felt the sweetest workings of the divinity in my spirit. My desire to take the four vows of poverty, obedience, chastity, and enclosure pleased the Lord very much, and I merited thereby that the God-fearing in the Church and in the law of grace are drawn to live under these vows, as is the custom in the present time. This was the beginning of that which you religious practice now, fulfilling the words of David in the 44th Psalm. After her shall virgins be brought to the King. For the Lord ordained that my aspirations be the foundation of religious life and of evangelical law. I fulfilled entirely and perfectly all that I proposed to the Lord, as far as was possible in my state of life. Never did I look upon the face of a man, not even on that of my husband Joseph, nor on that of the angels, when they appeared to me in human form, though I saw and knew them all in God. Never did I incline toward any creature, rational or irrational, nor toward any human operation or tendency. But in all things I was governed by the Most High, either directly by Himself, or indirectly through the obedience to which I freely subjected myself. Do not forget, my dearest, that the religious state is consecrated and ordained by the Most High for maintaining the doctrine of Christian perfection and the close imitation of the life of my Son, and that therefore the souls who in religious life are sunk in sleepy forgetfulness of their high blessing and lead a life more listless and lax than many worldly men are objects of great wrath of the Lord, and a severer judgment and chastisement await them than others. The demon also, ancient and astute serpent as he is, uses more diligence in his attempts to overcome religious men and women than to conquer all the rest of worldly men. And if one of these religious fall, all hell exerts the greatest solicitude and care to prevent his using the many means which religion affords for rising from a fall, such as obedience and holy exercises and the frequent use of the sacraments. To make all these remedies miscarry and be of no use to the fallen religious, the enemy applies so many cunning snares that it would fill with terror anyone who saw them. However, much of this is recognized in the actions and artifices by which a lax religious soul tries to defend its remissness, excusing by its specious arguments if it does not break out in disobedience and yet greater disorders and faults. Be careful, therefore, my daughter, and fear so dreadful a danger. By divine assistance of grace, raise thyself above thyself, never permitting thy will to consent to any disorderly affection or movement. I wish thee to consume thyself in dying to thy passions and in becoming entirely spiritualized, so that having extinguished within thee all that is of the earth, thou mayest come to lead an angelic life and conversation. In order to deserve the name of spouse of Christ, thou must pass beyond the limits and the sphere of a human being and ascend to another state and divine existence. Although thou art earth, thou must be a blessed earth, without the thorns of passion, one whose fruit is all for the Lord its master. If thou hast for thy spouse that supreme and mighty Lord, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, consider it beneath thy dignity to turn thy eyes, and much more thy heart, toward such vile slaves as are the human creatures, for even the angels love and respect thee for thy dignity as spouse of the Most High. If even among men it is held to be a darling and boundless insolence in a plebeian to cast longing eyes upon the spouse of a prince, what a crime would it be to cast them on the spouse of the heavenly and omnipotent King? And it would not be a smaller crime if she herself would receive and consent to such familiarity. Consider and assure thyself that the punishment reserved for this sin is inconceivably terrible, and I do not show it to thee visibly, lest thou perish in thy weakness. I wish that for thee my instruction suffice to urge thee to the fulfillment of all I admonish, and to imitate me as my disciple, as far as thy powers go. Be also solicitous in recalling this instruction to the mind of thy nuns, and in seeing that they live up to it. My mistress and my most kind queen, in the joy of my soul, I listen to thy sweetest words, so full of spirit and of life, and I wish to inscribe them in the interior of my heart, together with the graces of thy most holy Son, which I beseech thee to obtain for me. If thou give me permission, I will speak in thy presence as an ignorant disciple with her mistress and teacher. I desire, O my mother and protectress, though I am so unworthy and remiss, to fulfill the four vows of my profession, according to thy commands and according to my obligation. Though I am so unworthy and remiss therein, yet I beseech thee, give me a more full instruction, which may serve me as a guide and direction in the fulfillment of this duty, and as a complement of these vows, which thou hast placed in my heart.